Our first scripture lesson today is from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Now our second scripture reading. It comes from Romans and then again from Philippians to continue this theme that you have been hearing from the 12th chapter of Romans and then from the 4th chapter of Philippians. Let us listen for God's word. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. So this morning we continue our series, What is Truth? As we often do with a series, I start off with just a little recap, just to bring us up to date. We started our series a couple of weeks ago with the scene in the Gospel of John between Jesus and Pilate, in which Pilate asked Jesus the question, what is truth? And Jesus prompted that question by saying that his purpose, that what he was born for, what he comes into the world for, is to testify to truth. And that everyone who belongs to him belongs to the truth, listens to his voice. And so that's what we are trying to do. We're trying to listen. We're trying to pay attention to Jesus and what Jesus tells us about truth and how Jesus' life shows us truth. And the second week, we talked about how when Pilate asked that question, what is truth? Jesus responded with silence. And we talked about how silence is so important in our lives and how we have really lost contact with the gift of silence and contemplation in our lives and in our world, in our culture. There is very little silence in our lives, but silence is the womb of truth. We begin to discover what is true in silence, in contemplation. Well, today, we're going to take the next step in this process. And from silence grows our thoughts. You know, thoughts, if silence is the womb of truth, then I think we can talk about thoughts as being the seeds of truth. Thinking. We all do it. We do it all the time in some form or fashion. Have you ever stopped thinking? Even when we contemplate, even the masters of contemplation tell you that the art of contemplation is not to stop thinking, because that's practically impossible. The art of contemplation, the art of meditation, is to let go of thoughts, to recognize the thought and let it go. And eventually, we begin to clear our minds of the clutter that most of us walk around with. If we're not particularly in tune with something we're doing, reading, watching, our minds are all over the place. We have this internal conversation that's always going on. Again, the mystics, the contemplatives, call this the monkey mind. And it's called the monkey mind because it's very similar to a whole group of monkeys in trees just swinging from one limb to another, one thought to another. How many times have you ever caught yourself thinking something and say, "Now, how in the world did I get there?" We're always thinking. Our minds are always working. We even use this little phrase. I've tried to watch it in my own speech and try to notice it in others' speeches as well. We begin sentences with what? I think. I think I'll do this. Well, now, I think so-and-so and so-and-so. But I think. Now, anybody who's ever even had an introductory course in philosophy has been exposed to René Descartes. René Descartes, the 19th century philosopher, who's 18th century philosopher, whose philosophy is basically at the foundation of Western thinking. Whether you realize it or not, we are all basically Cartesian. We are, our thought process is built in what René Descartes, the French philosopher, developed long ago. And he wanted to come up with a phrase in which you could find no doubt. And the phrase he came up with was famously, "I think, therefore I am." And he claims that this is the phrase in which you can find no doubt, because the fact that you are doubting shows that you are thinking. Now, we could go on and on with some philosophical arguments about that, and that has taken place about Descartes' ideas. But the basic assumption is still there, that we think, and because we think, because we are aware of who we are and where we are, and that we are something. This awareness is constantly with us. But Descartes was not really talking about, he was more talking about cognitive thought than he was awareness. or imagination. Those are different realms of thought. But our minds are constantly with us. And there's a question about our thoughts. Do our thoughts really matter? There's a school of philosophy that says our thoughts matter greatly, that our thoughts actually create our reality, because they are the seeds of the truth of our life. I want to give you an example of this, okay? I mean, it's a very obvious example. I've actually done this exercise before. And that's to ask you to look around this room and try to identify something that was not originally someone's imagination. Most of the world that we see around us was at one time a thought. And the human imagination takes the thought and it becomes a reality. So in some very real ways, we do create our reality with our thoughts. So, if we create our reality with our thoughts, it's logical to think that we can change our reality with our thoughts by changing our thoughts. If we change the way we think, we begin to create a new reality within our lives. There's a whole area of study in neuroscience these days that is absolutely amazing about the effect that our thoughts have on our lives, on our physiology. There's this idea called neuroplasticity, which is showing that we can actually create new brain cells by the way we think. A perfect example of that is anyone who's ever gone through therapy after having a stroke. A great deal of that therapy, the repetition of it, whether it's physical or verbal or mental, the repetition of it is actually rebuilding pathways and cells in our brains. Our thoughts really matter. Now, the next step in this idea about thinking is that our thoughts are not just our thoughts. Our thoughts are part of our mind. And our mind, many people believe, is part of a larger entity. Carl Jung, as a matter of fact, the 20th century psychologist, is famous for identifying and exploring the idea of collective consciousness. That there is a collective consciousness within humanity. And there are many, many different studies and experiments that have been run on the collective consciousness in which we live. Theologian and scientist Pierre Desjardins identified a similar thing that he called the noosphere. He did this back in the early 20th century when he talked about the noosphere. He says there's just this, he called it an ether. He gave it the name noosphere. But there is an ether in the earth in which thoughts get shared and transferred. It's amazing how when you look at history, people think that a certain person invented a certain thing or had an idea first, when you discover that all the way around on the other side of the world, somebody else is having the same idea. Just about the same time. And so Desjardins called this the noosphere. If you read about it, it sounds amazingly like the internet. And this was back in the early 20th century. And you wonder, wow, was he anticipating some of this mass mind and communication that we have electronically? But it's been recognized for millennia. It's been recognized by mystics for thousands of years in our own scriptures, the whole idea of the spirit that is shared by everyone, the cloud of witnesses in which we live, is a biblical phrase. This whole idea of a collective consciousness and mind. Had a strange instance of this just a couple days ago. Peg came in and said, you know, I think we might need to trim the trees out near the street. They're getting kind of low. And so I went out and took a look, and I went out to see if I could reach them with a ladder and determined that I couldn't. I was going to have a longer implement to trim these trees, and so I put it on the back burner. And within minutes, our doorbell rang, and it was a young woman saying, "We're just in the neighborhood doing some tree trimming, and wondered if you would like to have your trees trimmed." And now I don't make a practice of employing people who knock on my door. That's not a good practice. But I did have a conversation with her and asked her if she could give me some more information and some references. We might be able to talk. But just this idea and I told Peg about it, and she says, "Yeah, we were just talking about it. I guess we just put it out there." I'm sure nothing like that's ever happened to you, has it? The mind. And then we get to Philippians, and Paul says we are to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is what we are to strive for. And he says in Romans that transforming our mind is what we are called to. Some people call that repentance. Because basically what repentance is just turning our attention away from one thing toward another. And when we do, We have a different perspective. We have different thoughts. We have a different viewpoint. And our minds are transformed. But what we are called to see, what we are called to be transformed toward, is the mind of Christ. And that list of things that we heard read in the fourth chapter of Philippians, these are the things that we are to strive toward, to think on. And in thinking, transform our minds with the mind of Christ. I love the anthem that we heard, the Shine, Jesus, Shine. There's some language in that anthem about us reflecting the light. And in many ways, being created in the image of God is exactly that. That the image of God is reflected in our lives. But we can only reflect light toward which we are turned. Very simple physics. If you have a mirror and you want to reflect some light, you have to have the mirror facing the light. The same is with us in our lives. To reflect the image of God, we must be focused on the image of God. To have the mind of Christ, we must think the thoughts of the mind of Christ. And then we begin to discover truth. In our world today, especially in the time we are in our country, we're in a political election season where we are being bombarded with information from all corners. And if we want to begin to discern truth in all of that noise, first we need to turn it off and listen. And then we need to identify in our own lives the mind of Christ and begin to identify the mind of Christ in the world around us. Whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is peaceful, whatever is just, those are the identifiers of truth. The mind of Christ. Our thoughts really do matter. Amen. Did you notice the progression in that hymn? It starts off with our thoughts. Take thou our minds. And it ends up with, take thou ourselves. Changing our thoughts changes our lives and the way we live in the world and relate to one another. And it's not easy, because we all have those thoughts, and our goal, our objective, is to just let the thought go and make room for a better thought. Make room for the mind of Christ. And as that passage in Philippians says, we will all be one And this doesn't mean we'll all be thinking alike. We will still have the diversity of humanity, but we're all participating in a oneness that is the mind of Christ. If we will just simply think differently, who knows? Maybe things might change. Amen.